The tide of life turns just at the moment it seems impossible to hold on one moment more. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, the University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, School of the Master, and so forth here in Campo, California. Kind of a busy group of activities. Bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. You're going to be surprised with what we're going to talk about today. So listen closely. The tide of life turns just at the moment it seems impossible to hold on one moment more. Everyone is looking to find balance in their life, to find order in their life, to find peace in their life, to find the feeling that their life is very wonderful and meaningful. And many people are living their lives without ever knowing that peace and that balance. And as I think about it, I think how foolish we are. We could be walking our spiritual path 24 hours of the day if we wanted to, which means that every desire of our heart would be fulfilled instantly for us. But that's not important. We don't want to do that. We don't bother doing that. If you go into the grocery store and you say, "I'm hungry," and the grocer said, "Look around, buy what you like, but I can't make up my mind. I can't make up my mind whether to buy the Catholic bread or the Jewish fish or the Christian attitudes or what. I don't know what to do." And the grocer says, "Well, they're all here for you to look at and decide what you want." And so finally the man says to the grocer, "Sir, I haven't seen anything here that I want. Nothing like I found inside of myself." And the grocer says, "You have found something inside of yourself?" And the man says, "Yes. Whenever I'm uptight, I just say peace, and I relax, and all the uptightness goes away. And whenever I have a problem, I just say, all is in divine order now, and the problem is solved. And whenever I have a friend who tells me of something that they need, I instantly say, go and enjoy. It is done unto you now." You know, it is complete. And people think, "My goodness, you know, maybe I'm some sort of guru. Maybe I'm some sort of a wonderful messiah or something like that. But I have no labels. I have no labels to give myself so that I can feel comfortable. I want to be a Christian, or I want to be a Jew, or I want to be a Hindu. I want to be something, you know. I want to be an Islam." And people run to all these churches because they have such excitement going on in them. The Christians are trying to correct everybody in the world and help everybody in the world and going out and serving everybody in the world. And the Jews are sitting back helping all the Jews and being good people. But they're not too worried about what people outside of their particular study does or doesn't do. And that's okay. And the Muslims, there is only one group of people on earth, and that's the Muslims. Anyone who's not a Muslim, not an Islam, is not existing. You know, and on through all the other faiths, until we come to one, which is most interesting. If you study the teachings of the Buddha, if you study the teachings of the Brahmins, you will find that they teach more than anything else introspection, meditation, listening within, meditating over nothing, just meditating to find out who they are inside themselves. And I used to think, what a strange bunch of people. Here they are led by such wise gurus, by such magical people who are able to do many interesting things. And yet, you never hear about them. You never hear about the people who have gone to these gurus, these ashrams. You never hear about these people who've gone and studied under these great masters. They just sort of meld into society, and you don't even know that they've been there. Oh, a few play the game and wear the robes, but they're just having fun. That's just one of the games they want to play, and that's okay. But what is it that the Hindus teach? What is it that the Buddha teaches? What is it that Jesus taught, actually? They all taught, go within. Go in the privateness of your own inner self, in your own inner mind, and you will find the greatest peace that ever could exist for you. But you will not go into your inner mind unless there's a cross to play with, unless there's a rosary to do, unless there's something that is going to make challenges for you. Now, why do the Muslim women wear veils? You know, why do the Arab women do that? Why are they hiding their face? Well, they're not hiding their face. Their face is sacred and secret only for the men in their family. They are a very special person. And we think that they're being treated wrongly and mistreated because we think that just because they're not acting like we do, that they should act like we do, and that they want to act like we do, and they don't want to act like we do. They want to act like they have been trained by their own teaching. Now, if you have the ability to look past the things that go on in your life and see to the depth of your own heart, you will say, wow, how great. Now, I conduct School of the Master programs. I conduct programs all over the country, teaching people how to listen within and how to go within. I show them the three-hour meditation, and everyone who participates in the three-hour meditation instantly feels just uplifted and illumined. But they only feel uplifted and illumined for a short time, and after a few days of doing this, they lose all interest in it because they haven't learned how to listen within in the first place. They have not gotten their driver's license. They think they know how to listen within, and so they know better. They come into their meditation in the morning after a deep night's sleep, and they say, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am, you know, which is really nice. And then the second hour, I am God because that's all there is in the entire universe. Everything is God. All is the creation of God, and God in its oneness is everywhere, and in its allness is everywhere. There's no greatness or smallness in the essence of God, blah, 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 you know. And then comes the tough part. Then comes the third hour where you sit quietly and listen to the divine in you. Now, you just got done saying that all is God and that God is in you as much as it is in anything else in the universe. You're saying that you are God, and then you cannot even sit down quietly for a moment and listen to that God, because you can't do it any other way. When you were a little child, your mother would talk to you, and your mother would say, now you do this, 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 and pretty soon you just learn to shut her off, you know. Not unkindly, but humanly. You just learn to shut her off. And your teacher in school, and you understand what the teacher was saying the moment the teacher opened their mouth. You understood what direction they wanted you to go. And then they went on and on and on and bored the living daylights out of you. And so you learn to stop listening to the teachers. And the traffic cop comes up to you, and he says, you violated the law. And you say, okay, in yourself, get it over with, give me the ticket, or tell me what you're going to do, or, you know, let me off, whatever it's going to do. I've got places to go. You know, you don't take that situation and say, hey, this guy's doing his job. And if he didn't do his job, there'd be a lot of fatalities on the road, a lot more than there are. There'd be a lot of problems, and traffic wouldn't run as smooth as it does. I have much to be thankful for this police officer. And if I violated the law and he stopped me, then I want to be responsible for that violation and not do it again. And so the officer comes up and he says, you were going too fast. And you say, sorry, officer, I know I was going a little faster than I should, and I will keep it in mind. I will not, exceed the speed limits. And he says, well, if I believed that you believed what you said, I would let you off without a ticket. If I believe that you are not just trying to put me on, tell me what you want me to hear like you did to your mother all the years of your life, what you did to your teacher. You know how to pass a test in school. You know how to get through any test in school. Find out what answers the teachers are looking for and then give it to them. Not that they're teaching you to think, but they're teaching you to regurgitate the information that they're giving you and not to come up with anything new. When you come up with something new, they will not make you pass the course because they feel you did not get the basic message. It's like me here. I'm saying, okay, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Now, what should you say when you are having a problem? And so you should say, all is in divine order. But you don't do it because you are so, I'm going to say it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm whole and well. I'm living in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. You know, and you want to be pissy ass about that, you know, just sort of stupid, you know, and it's hard to teach people like that, but that's because the rebellion that's in you from your childhood and from your otherhood, and it's a silliness about you that doesn't let you learn, that doesn't let you experience it. Now, I don't have to teach that way. I teach that way basically because that's the way you are geared to learn. Now, what I could teach best would be by what?
Example.
Right, you got the word, by example. Now, so I say, all right, now, we are going to meditate now. I close my eyes and I sit quietly and I say, we're going to meditate now. And so you close your eyes and you sit quietly and you haven't the biggest idea what I'm doing. I may be opening my eyes and looking around at you to see how many of you are closing your eyes and sitting quietly, you know. But that doesn't really matter. You see, what is it by example? I would like all of you to take this graduate school course. And, you know, it's not available for everybody. You have to have your eyes open and your ears open if you want to take this graduate school course. And what the course is, it's a course of listening within to your divine self, not to your human self, but to your divine self. Now, where are you going to get a course like that? We've taught these courses for years and years and years and years, but you have to apply it, or else the course, and theoretically, I don't know if you're doing it or not. And I say theoretically. I don't know if you're following the principle. Now, Ingeborg, you're flinching. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Ingeborg?
Yes, sir.
What is the first thing that one might do in preparation for going into meditation? Just the first wonderful little thing.
Letting go, taking deep breaths and saying all is in divine order.
In other words, becoming peaceful. Okay, letting go. All right. Now, Douglas, what is another thing a person might do when he wants to go into introspection and listen within and hear something? What do you think he would need to do?
Close your eyes and think deep thoughts.
No. Anyone else have the answer? Sylvia?
You have to have something to meditate about.
I didn't say that. No. If you listened to me and heard it, then that's for you and me. Now, what are you supposed to do?
To listen.
Listen what?
To listen to my thoughts.
To listen to the divine within. Everybody's got thoughts racing through their mind, racing through their head, and it's going to a mile a minute. And so you just let those thoughts come and let them pass. But now, if you're going into introspection, you usually have meditation first, don't you? And in meditation, you think about something. You prepare yourself for what you're going to think about. I'm going to think about the divine in me. Okay, now, you're going to think about the divine in you. Now, how are you going to think about the divine in you? How are you going to turn your attention just to that one type of thought? You see, that is a tough thing to do. Now, the way you turn your attention to that one type of thought, I say, is to teach yourself first, and this has to be done before you do your introspection and meditation, teach yourself to go crazy. Teach yourself to be uninhibited. Teach yourself to be imaginative. Hey, you had no trouble with Star Trek, did you? You had no trouble in thinking Captain Kirk could do those things, or Commander Spock could do those things, or what's the other guy's name? The commander, you know. And Scotty, yeah, beam me up. But you see, you had no trouble doing that. In fact, you oftentimes thought, I'd like to be beamed up. That'd be kind of nice, you know. And you have no trouble with it, but that's crazy. That's way out of imagination. Now, take that same wonderful imagination on who you are. Now, are you one as the allness in the universe? Are you one with yourself? Are you the creator of everything that goes on in your world? Are you fantastic? Are you glorious? Are you supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Are you just the cat's meow? All right, now, can you sing?
Yes.
Yes, you always say yes. Other people may not like the way you sing, but if you like it, that's all that matters, right? Mm-hmm. Now, can you dance?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. And can you see yourself being happy?
Oh,
yes.
Of course.
Okay. Then that's the imagination. When you, as I told you in the undertow that had me there, it could kill me or leave me alive. So why fear it? Just relax. Just relax. Let go. What else is you going to do, you know? Let go. You're carried by the tide, like Illusions tells us, you know. You're carried by the tide. And so then you come up and you've had a glorious experience. You've had an awakening experience. It could have been a sleeping experience too, but you had an awakening experience where it just lifted you right out into some beautiful. Now you see, Edgar Cayce tries to make people think that he is in contact with the medical profession in his out-of-body journeys, and that he's giving those medical reports to the people, but he's not. He is in tune with his oneness as all. He is one as all. But you see, that's too metaphysical. That is too far out. And people would not accept that. But because he says he is with Dr. X, well, who says that Dr. X is so smart? I mean, Dr. X was so smart, who was he on Earth, you know, if he was anybody? And usually, he's not the most brainy one. But anyhow, Cayce tuned in to his oneness, and he knew the things he wanted to know. Now, that's cool. But you see, he maintained it in a particular area, in the area of knowledge on these things, and did a good job. Now, what do the Hindus do? The Hindus have trained themselves to not have a lot on their mind. But of all the Hindus that you know, and I mean all the Hindus that you know, would you say that, I don't know of any that doesn't fit this picture, but of all the Hindus you know, would you say that every one of them was a genius? Every single one of the Hindus that I know is a genius. So just imagine if these are the geniuses that go into introspection, that go into their meditation, into their spiritual in-looking, you know, what magic they must perform. And when they find themselves, we've read the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, and in their Jest and Jathro, they're just two young fellows doing great things, having a ball. And then, remember the fellow who came along with the leopard or lion? The leopard, I believe it was? And he had the leopard as a pet? Mm-hmm. And he just had a ball. He just had a ball. Now, I don't ever hear him feeding the leopard or himself or anything, but they were just having a good time. Now, we talk about Saint Germain, we say, wow, what a character he is, a mythical character, a mystery character, and that he was in the courts of France and he was advising the French kings. No, he wasn't. He was having a ball. He was having a ball. He had a beautiful house, and he would go into the court, and the king didn't know that he didn't belong, you know, because he felt he belonged. And wherever he chose to go, he belonged. And so when he needed money, he would just hold his hand tight, and out would come a beautiful diamond. Why not? Why not? And did he take it from somebody? No. Was it perfectly faceted? Yes. Was it beautiful beyond imagination? Sure. Did it buy him all sorts of luxuries that he enjoyed? Sure. And did he advise the king on what to do? No. He played with the king. He was like a companion with the king, out riding the horses and out the handkerchief sort of stuff, you know, and all that silly sort of stuff that the court did in those days. But that was fun, and that's what he did. And in other dimensions that he lived on, he expressed in other ways. Now, how many dimensions have you lived on and forgotten? How many experiences have you got and forgotten? You see, you're always God. You're always the allness. You're always the totality. Now, we said here, the tide of life turns just at the moment it seems impossible to hold on one more moment. When you are in your meditation, or introspection better, but when you're in your inward seeking, inward listening experience, hold on that one more moment. Because when it seems to get so boring, you just could be bored to tears, remember, you're getting close. Because once you get over the hump, it's like getting the second wind in running. Once you get over, I can't run another step, I can't go another step, then all of a sudden your body just readjusts and you go again. And you go lickety-split. And this is how your mind works too. Your mind gets in the way. It says, I don't want you knowing about your divinity. Because as soon as you know about your divinity, you're going to stop doing all sorts of good things. Ingeborg, take a piece of bread and give it to the boy, please. Not the whole thing. Just a little piece. Oh, my goodness. But go ahead. Now go. Go. Now, Rex has just come in with her shoe. And Rex is going to have a little piece of bread. That's right. He dropped the shoe. Now, Ingeborg, pick up the shoe before you give him the bread. But these are all little training things. Now, this is not the first time this has happened to Ingeborg. Ingeborg's shoes like to go wherever Rex is. He finds that they're just wonderful. What's that, Ellen?
The window's open.
And so, it's very important for us to realize it's so simple. It's so simple. But we forget. We forget. And when we forget, then what do we say?
All is in divine order.
When we forget, then we say,
I know that
the tide of life turns just at the moment it seems impossible to hold on one more moment.
Yeah.
And when you can do that, then everything will be functioning for you in perfect divine order.
All is in divine order.
Yes. So remember that now. The Hindus, I would imagine, if there were 1,000 Hindus taking courses in from their gurus or from their teachers and stuff like that, if there were 1,000 of them, I would say perhaps 999 of them find their way.
Wow.
And the rest, the one who didn't find his way, he could do the course over again. But maybe he didn't want it. Maybe he didn't want it. And of course, it probably is that he didn't want it.
Yeah.
Now, you all know the story of Swami Rama. And as a young student, his master came to him as he was sitting with the rest of the students, all the students were in meditation, and the master says, "Swami, are you meditating?" And what was his reply?
"Yes, master."
And he wasn't meditating, was he? You see, when you know what's going on around you, when you know, and you're sitting in a group and you're supposed to be meditating, and you know, then you're not meditating. And if you don't meditate under those ideal situations, how much are you going to do otherwise?
Yeah.
We have people who want to come here and bring their families here. They're not going to get any benefit from us, because they're going to be concerned about their family. The man's going to be concerned about his wife, and the wife's going to be concerned about the man who is going faster and getting there, you know, more quickly. And the children, the parents are going to have to discipline them and keep them in line. And how would we do it? If we had 12 test tube babies here, how would we do it? We would train them all that they're geniuses and they're fantastic and they're totally harmonious with the environment that they've created themselves in, and there's no discipline, there's no shouting, there's no spankings, there's discipline that has to be done to them because they are self-disciplined. Now, wow! Now, you say, isn't that great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I will give you each a gift. You have one baby, you have one baby, you have one baby, you have one baby, you. Now, let's see how you raise it. And remember, the tide of life turns just at the moment it seems impossible to hold on one more moment. And you can do it. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.